This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The French president is meeting business leaders to talk about economic losses caused by protests. And ever been called the wrong name at work?
Colleague responded saying that they were just seconds away from calling me Dorito, as that's what apparently my name had been changed into by autocorrect. I'm not a fried chip.
What should you do? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn has been officially charged by Japanese prosecutors with underreporting his income by more than $40 million, and he's been rearrested on further allegations of understating his pay. He was arrested last month at Tokyo Airport but denies wrongdoing. An aide to Mr. Ghosn and Nissan itself have also been charged with misconduct. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes reports.
First, Carlos Ghosn, Greg Kelly and Nissan Motor Corporation were formally indicted with making misstatements in Nissan's annual security report over a five-year period from 2011 to 2015. Mr. Ghosn and Mr. Kelly were then immediately served with fresh arrest warrants, alleging they did the same thing from 2016 to 2018. That will allow Japanese prosecutors to continue holding and interrogating the two men until December the 30th. Mr. Ghosn's defence team says the accusations against him are invalid because they do not relate to his salary, but to future payments that Mr. Ghosn was expected to receive after he retires.
Rupert Wingfield Hayes. Let's do the numbers. Global stocks, lower. Yep, U.S.-China trade tensions and slower growth to blame. In Europe, new figures show Eurozone investor sentiment dropped to its lowest level in 4 years. That's thanks to Italy's contentious budget, Brexit, and unrest in France. And the British pound is lower against the dollar, reversing an earlier rise brought by a European Court of Justice ruling, which said Britain can cancel Brexit without getting approval from the other EU states. The decision comes just a day before Parliament is due to vote on Theresa May's controversial Brexit deal. Now, more on that unrest in France. Further protests this weekend led to the detention of more than 1,200 people. That's despite an announcement last week that a planned increase in fuel tax would be scrapped. Now, the French President Emmanuel Macron is meeting trade unions and business leaders this morning, and he's due to speak later today to address the protests and their economic fallout. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
The Central Bank of France today halved its fourth quarter growth forecasts. That's as a wave of protests spread through the capital in what the country's finance minister has called a catastrophe for business and the economy. The Bank of France now expects the Eurozone's second biggest economy to grow 0.2%. That's down from a previous estimate of 0.4%. The figures are based on new data from the bank's latest business climate survey of executives, which showed the month-long protest dented activity in nearly all industrial, services, and construction sectors last month. On Friday, the French Retail Federation told Reuters businesses have lost more than $1 billion since the protests began on November 17th. And the head of the Confederation of Small and Medium-Sized Businesses told French media the protests could cost members $11 billion. The yellow vest demonstrators, named for the high-visibility vests they wear, took to the streets by the hundreds of thousands to protest proposed fuel tax hikes that were slated to come in on top of the more than 20% increase in diesel prices over the last year. Last week, though, President Macron was forced to delay those plans through 2019. They were originally meant to fund renewable energy investments. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Have you ever been called the wrong name at work? If I had a dime for every time I've been called Anya or Anne, well, the BBC's Druti Shah has been examining what the best response is if work colleagues don't correct their own misnomers. Now, Druti, what made you look into this?
So I sent this email out recently. A colleague responded saying that they were just seconds away from calling me Dorito, as that's what apparently my name had been changed into by autocorrect. I'm not a fried chip, but it also made me remember all these other times that I've accidentally been called weird names at work, dirty, drutty, the names of the other Asian women in the office. And I thought, I can't be alone in this. And how do you deal with this? So I put a call out on LinkedIn and Facebook, and there was a tremendous response. There was a lady called Montserrat Piedra Insa, and now her name's common in Catalonia, but she's been called some really weird names. And she said, for example, somebody in the US calls her Munster Rat. Still now, Munster Rat.
Wow.
And she says that, you know, it's often from English-speaking nationalities. She says that, you know, for some reason, Japanese people had no issue.
Those are some incredible examples. I mean, look, obviously, people just make mistakes sometimes. So, yeah, what do you do? When do you address it?
So I had a look around, I spoke to people, and the advice is to correct it straight away. Get your colleagues to help reinforce how you pronounce your name, because effectively, they're actually saying that you don't matter. And if you're really not that comfortable raising it, and it keeps happening at work, get a manager to raise it informally on your behalf.
So your name is Indian origin. What does it actually mean?
It actually depends where you look. My family is Gujarati and it means North Star. However, it's also a name derived from the Hindu goddess Durga, and that's the warrior goddess. But I like the Urban Dictionary, but I think maybe people should look that one up themselves. It does not mean tortilla, though.
The BBC's Dhruti Shah. Finally, Walker's Chips here in the UK produces 20 million packets every day. The metallized packaging is a nightmare to recycle, and campaigners had started mailing used ones back to make a point. Well, now the owner PepsiCo has announced the first ever nationwide chip packet recycling scheme. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.